in the limelight.
Visions of a clean energy future are being ascribed to the dirtiest companies on the planet as President Biden inaugurates the green economy by following in Trump's footsteps, says Raul Diego Ryder in an article published under the heading Biden's Faux Revolution, Green Energy Slated to Become World's New Oil Industry. Stay tuned for the details, please. Just before leaving office, Donald Trump asserted his executive privilege to deliver significant concessions to the mining industry, which culminated in the gift of sacred Apache territory to a foreign mining conglomerate covered earlier this month by Mint Press. It also led to the irreversible loosening of industry regulations and greater access to federal lands. In October 2020, the now former president tapped into his trademark populist rhetoric to declare a national emergency for the U.S. mining industry and signed an executive order seeking to curtail China's outsized control over the supply chain of rare earth and critical minerals. That order directs the Department of Interior to use its authorities under the Defense Production Act, DPA, to fund mineral processing that protects national security. Contrary to popular belief, Biden has every intention to continue pressuring China on matters of trade and technology, and according to White House spokeswoman Jen Psaki, the administration will be evaluating the tariffs imposed by Trump and is committed to stopping China's economic boom. The directives in the executive action, which also include making more funding available for resource extraction projects and cutting down on red tape for the industry, place Deb Haaland, Biden's nominee to head the agency, in an awkward position if confirmed. Haaland will become the first Native American to hold a cabinet-level position in the federal government, only to hand more power to the same corporations her brethren have been fighting for decades. Nevertheless, the Biden administration is poised to forge ahead with Trump's dictates, despite its much Bollywood re-entry into the Paris Accords on one day. The moral bankruptcy of the climate change industrial complex is laid bare as it marches to the green economy by the unprecedented expansion in mineral extraction that is on the horizon. As the next man up on the political merry-go-round of the permanent state, Joe Biden's messaging will be geared towards the more liberal segments of the American population, but his policies will differ little from the status quo. While publicly slamming oil drilling in the United States and canceling the Keystone XL pipeline, just one of the hundreds of pipelines already crisscrossing the country, he nonetheless promises to bring 500,000 charging stations to U.S. cities and towns as he reassures mining companies behind closed doors that he will not interfere with domestic production of metals. The market has already recognized the trend with a 20% surge in the price of cobalt this year and the launch of a new rare earth minerals exchange in Guangzhou, China on December 31st last year. Cobalt, a critical raw material, is used in conjunction with rare earth minerals to make most consumer electronics from cell phones to laptops. It is also a vital component in electric vehicle battery manufacturing, a sector that is set to explode in the next decade as the Green Deals that aim to reduce carbon emissions and move towards so-called renewable energy comes online. The vast majority of the world's cobalt supply is mined using child labor in the Democratic Republic of Congo, where the increasing demand for the mineral has sprouted artisanal mining practices that exploit children. This sinister reality underscores the true cost of modern-day technology and exposes the hypocrisy of the likes of Elon Musk. Famously, the CEO of one of the largest electric vehicle companies in the world, who recently offered a $100 million prize for the development of carbon capture technology, considered a slick scheme and wishful thinking designed to convince consumers that climate warming emissions can be stored underground. Our phones, laptops, or that $70,000 fully equipped Tesla are far from the end of the story, however. An important driver of Biden's incoming green revolution is the defense industry, which is in the throes of shifting to AI-driven technologies, a massive emitter of carbon dioxide, as well as other cyber, wind, and solar technologies, all of which require enormous supplies of rare earth and critical minerals such as cobalt, nickel, copper, and lithium. Still, the consumer market for electric vehicles and the burgeoning product landscape for the Internet of Things, which is projected to be worth trillions of dollars worldwide over the next 5 years, represents the next frontier of capitalist growth. Packaged as a compact to save nature, it is anything but. So-called green technologies have the potential to do more damage to the environment than any previous modality of resource consumption humanity has engaged in. Keystone XL might have been halted, but it is unlikely that the huge copper mine slated for Oak Flats will run into any problems from the Biden administration. After all, the average electric vehicle uses approximately 80 kilograms of copper. An EV sector will require 250% more copper for the charging stations alone, to say nothing of emerging EV markets like India, which is angling to replace gas-powered vehicles by 2030. Mining operations will still need fossil fuel-generated energy to power their earth-shattering equipment, not to mention the transportation and shipping required to move the payload to their respective markets. At the same time, the exponential increase in demand for these raw materials will result in scores of people, men, women, and children, being exploited for the labor, as many of these resources can only be found in poor nations, which have been kept in debt by the sophisticated mechanisms of financial oppression of the West in order to have cheap access to these same resources. In 2019, Apple, Google, Microsoft, Dell, and Tesla were sued by a rights advocacy group on behalf of Congolese families of children who were killed or maimed in the process of mining for the precious cobalt that these companies use to make their products. The class action was filed in the District Court for the District of Columbia based on the research of Siddhartha Kara, an anti-slavery advocate and lecturer at the Harvard Kennedy School of Government. In an open letter, Kara addressed to anyone who uses smartphone, drives an electric car, or flies on a plane, he details some of the gruesome discoveries in the 31 mining sites he visited and the stark reality of more than 35,000 children as young as 6 who toil in the oppressive heat and inside the dangerous tunnels which mining conglomerates like Glencore operate in Congo. One of the victims' relatives, represented by international rights advocates in a lawsuit, tells the story of her nephew, who was forced to work in a cobalt mine after the family was unable to cover the child's $6 monthly school fee. The small boy was buried alive inside a tunnel that collapsed as he was collecting cobalt rocks for some kind of shiny tech device. Maybe one of the latest iPhones people get free with a 2-year contract with a carrier. His body was never recovered. Apple, Google, Tesla, and other tech firms named in the complaint have all filed motions for dismissal on the grounds that they cannot be held liable for the use of cobalt in their products.
Is there any other way to get familiar with Islam besides mainstream media? Try IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Muhammad Mahmoud Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. Wa bihi nasta'in wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa alihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'sumin. Salamun alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Dear brothers and sisters in Islam, welcome once again to yet another episode of The Bridge, a program in which we try to discuss the different supplications of Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, supplications that have come in the form of a prayer manual known as As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyya. We have been discussing the seventh supplication of this prayer manual, and that is on the supplication of Imam Sajjad alayhi salam during incidents of sorrow, muhimmat, painful occasions, mulimmat, and intense grief, al-kurubat. And we were discussing verse number 5. In fact, we just started discussing verse number 5, where Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam in reality is expressing the problem that he is facing. And actually, in reality, he is also teaching us that expressing the problems before Allah is something which is meritorious. Yes, whatever phenomenon transpires in this world is out of Allah's mercy, wisdom, love, and of course he's elevating the believer when the believer is facing these problems. Yet the believer is allowed to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that relief. And that is why Imam also expresses this and teaches us also that this is how you should express the problem that you have. In this verse, Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam says, وَقَدْ نَزَلَ بِي يَا رَبِّي مَا قَدْ تَكَأَدَنِي ثِقْلُهُ وَأَلَمَّ بِي مَا قَدْ بَهَضَنِي حَمْلُهُ. And indeed on me has befallen, O Lord, something the weight of which has distressed me, and I have been visited with something the load of which has indeed weighed down on me. We said that what is important is to understand the reality that as you are addressing Allah, you are using the word Rabb, and therefore two things can be derived from this, that whatever is transpiring on you, all the phenomena that Allah makes or allows that it transpires on you is out of wisdom, love and mercy, because you are a believer and He wants your elevation, and it is the problems that you have created yourself that has come to yourself. If you go and see, the reality is that the masaib and the problems and afflictions that a person gets because of the sins, you find that the sins are the cause. Yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala elevates the person as He cleanses him, and because of the problems that he faces. Or sometimes it is from outside himself, because some oppressor is oppressing him. Here also you find Allah is elevating the person. So when he says Rabbi, he's, first of all, it is as if he is confessing that whatever is happening is due to my good, because you are my Rabb, you are training me. And secondly, he's also saying, O Lord, O the one who is training me, make it so that this problem comes out from me, yet I become higher in my tarbiyah, in my training, and I get elevated. So this is one way. Also, some of the scholars say that this Rabbi is to try to attract mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because He is the Rabb, and the Rabb is a person who is al-malik and al-mudabbir, the one who is the owner of a person and the one who controls the person. So actually He is the one who from whom mercy comes out. And therefore you are actually seeking mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and saying that, and indeed on me has befallen my Lord something the weight of which has distressed me.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
another very important thing that we must realize before we go to the next phrase is that, because you know this dua is only for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Imam Zainul Abideen alayhi salam is only expressing this to Allah. He is not expressing it to anybody. And that is the way of a real believer, because actually in one very beautiful hadith, the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi is reported to have said, "Min kunuzil birr," from the treasures of abundant good, that vast good that a person can do. Because the word birr is not only good and virtue. Birr is that thing that a person does in a very comprehensive manner. It's come from the word bar. Bar is that land which is a vast land. So here the Holy Prophet is reported to have said, "Min kunuzil birr kitmanul masa'ib," hiding the calamities that a person gets. You'll find there are people in life, when you look at them, you find they are very happy, yet they have so many afflictions. When you go to their home, you come to realize that, oh, this person is suffering from this thing, and he has this problem, and he has that problem. I thought he is well off, but he cannot afford even, let's say, one of his meals. If he has 3 meals a day, usually he can't afford 3 meals. He only can afford 2 meals or 1 meal. Yet outside, he is bashash. He is very happy. He is, you know, jovial in his encounter. This is actually the characteristic of a believer. But you find that this person, when it comes to spiritual elevation, he must be very high. You'll find that the person, his mind is working very powerfully. His interaction is very powerful. People love him, yet they don't know what are the problems that he is facing. And these great scholars were in the same manner. You find that these great scholars did not become great overnight just because of, you know, a fame which was a peripheral fame. No. It took them quite a while. They struggled. They became very powerful intellectually, spiritually. So this is one of the things that the Holy Prophet says, "Min kunuzil birr kitmanul masa'ib," one, "wal amrad," and also hiding the maladies that a person encounters, the sicknesses that a person has. So you see, instead of telling other people, you know, "I've got this problem and I've got this predicament," and so on, you only tell Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And finally, he says that wasadaqa, also, that when you give charity, you also hide charity. These are min kunuzil birr. You find that these are very important things.
Stay tuned to the IRIB English Radio.
So, in one way, we are also told that express it to Allah, no problem, but do not express it to other people, the problems that we face. Inshallah, we'll continue with our discussion in our next session. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. وآله الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين.
That was the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio. with Sheikh Khalfan, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را
Food for thought.
Hello everyone, and let us ponder on the means of intercession with him by Hazrat Fatima Zahra, peace be upon her, the Immaculate Daughter of the Almighty's last messenger, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny. I will intercede for the sinners from among the Ummah of my father when I am raised on the Day of Judgment.
We are with you. What about you? IRIB English Radio.
Please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
In August last year, the United Arab Emirates and the Israeli regime decided to normalize, or as critics put it, to publicize their relations. Since then, many bilateral agreements in various areas, such as technology, media, and tourism, have been made. Whereas these deals have been announced with much fanfare, Dubai and Tel Aviv are reportedly in cahoots with each other over issues they prefer to keep secret. One of them is the elimination of UNRWA, or the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees.
We have an office in Washington, D.C. We are in
حادث الحدث مؤلم جدا لجميع السعوديين.
Founded in 1949, UNRWA meant to support Palestinian refugees dispersed across the region after the creation of the Israeli regime with jobs, essential food, health care, and education. The bombshell to eliminate the agency was dropped by the French daily Le Monde in last December. According to the daily, the Israeli and Emirati officials have formulated a strategic axis to make UNRWA progressively disappear, without conditioning this on any resolution of the Palestinian refugee problem. The fact is, the Israeli Prime Minister has long been complaining about the existence of UNRWA, blaming it for perpetuating the narrative of the right to return, which the Israeli regime regards as an existential threat. Through various ways, including expansion of settlements, the regime has tried to Judaize the entire occupied territories, and therefore the existence of millions of Palestinian refugees in neighboring countries would make the Judaization project difficult.
For the past 23 years, the Israeli narrative has been threatened by the mere survival of Palestinians, and all policies that Israel is employing to silence and to marginalize Palestinians, from apartheid policies to ongoing settler colonialism, dispossession, house demolitions, jailings and killings of Palestinians, including children, is part of a ongoing Nakba that is very genocidal in its structure. And Israel's policies are a form of the settler colonial inscription that demands an erasure of the indigenous people. Now, the UNRWA is a reminder of Palestinians and their refugee crisis that Israel has created during its violent wars and expulsion of Palestinians in 1948.
With the abolition of UNRWA, millions of Palestinian refugees concentrated in camps across Syria, Jordan, Lebanon, the West Bank, and Gaza will become displaced people scattered around the world, and their right to return will automatically vanish. In Gaza, refugees have been under the Israeli regime's crippling siege for 13 years, while almost all Palestinian refugees in Syria are living in extreme poverty as a result of the war. And in Lebanon, they need sustained humanitarian assistance.
This is a rather threatening development for Palestinians, because the UNRWA does assist millions of Palestinians in their daily lives and also employs thousands of Palestinians. Now, this latest move is not surprising, given that Israel has been trying to silence Palestinians and their narrative for decades. And it is also part and parcel of Israel's transnational violence, as it has for the past 73 years tried not only to silence and basically erase Palestinians within Palestine, but also across its borders in refugee camps all over the region.
The first blow to UNRWA was dealt when former U.S. President Donald Trump ended its annual funding to the agency. In last November, Filippo Lazzarini, UNRWA's Commissioner General, raised the alarm that his agency was on the edge of a cliff. In a series of tweets, he wrote that the donations to UNRWA had been the lowest since 2012. Contributions in 2020 to UNRWA core education, health, and relief services are lowest since 2012, while needs of Palestinian refugees have significantly increased. This situation today, the worst financial crisis of the agency's recent history. Having the UAE on its side is clearly a crucial step for the Israeli regime to fulfill its dream of greater Israel. In the words of French journalist Benjamin Barthes, in doing so, Abu Dhabi would be rallying to a long-standing demand from Israel, which insists that the agency is obstructing peace by nurturing refugees in the dream of returning to the lands from which their parents were driven in 1948.
Israel wants the refugee problem to be solved by the Arab states, at the expense of the Arab states, and in the location of the Arab states. And of course, this is against UNRWA's mandate, and it's against the wishes of the Palestinian people who want to return to their homes. So nobody has ever seriously considered Israel's request to extinguish UNRWA. And the United Arab Emirates says, well, maybe we can give you something new. Maybe we can offer you something that nobody really wants other than you, which is to pretend that the Palestinian people don't exist.
While Abu Dhabi has remained silent about the allegation leveled by Le Monde, there are a number of reasons to suspect its collusion with Tel Aviv. Although the UAE was a major funder of UNRWA in 2018 and 2019, Abu Dhabi cut its $52 million in 2019 to $1 million in 2020.
I mean, the Emirati regime is in an axis together with the Israeli regime and the United States, and it has, ever since the normalization, extended its economic ties with the Zionist regime, but it also aims to extend its access to the Mediterranean through Israel, through its economic and political collaboration, and it has standardized Zionism to an extent. Now, at the same time, the United Arab Emirates cannot speak on behalf of Palestinians, nor any other regime, particularly given that the UAE regime does not even have a democratic mandate from its own population.
By doing such a big favor to the occupying regime, Emirati officials expect a closer military integration with Israel. For example, the UAE has long tried to acquire Israel's Iron Dome missile interception system, and now it hopes to get the system in the near future. The question of the transfer of this technology will be raised in coming years. In fact, by betraying the Palestinian cause, the Emiratis hope to get access to arms and intelligence from the UAE, and Israel refrained from them under the doctrine of ensuring the regime's regional qualitative military edge.
The Palestinians have always suffered in the Arab world, Arab leaders anyway, supporting them verbally without actually doing anything to help them. Pretending to be on our side without actually advancing our interests. Talking about using our cause to justify repressing their own people because we are very busy fighting the Israelis.
All in all, a continued denial of funding might eventually result in the abolition of UNRWA and a further displacement of Palestinian refugees. It's hard to believe that an Arab country is helping the Israeli regime erase the Palestinian refugees from history. The issue is still underreported, but it doesn't mean that the opposite is at play.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the most compassionate, the most merciful. Dear listener of IRIB English Radio, today's special, salam and welcome to this program. Today we're going to speak about Allah in our daily life.
Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Allah, Ya Rahman, حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. Ya Allah, Ya Mannan, حقق أمانينا وفقنا في كل آن فيما سعينا. Grateful today for difference and change, for all colors and shades, 'cause you made it this way. وهبتنا النبراس في حب كل الناس, أغدق لنا إحساس أنت هادينا.
Today, Friday, is the 15th of Jamadi al-Thani, 1442 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 10th of Bahman, 1399 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 29th of January, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. We listen to the Holy Quran, chapter Al-Imran, verse 173.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل.
Those to whom hypocrites said, indeed the people have gathered against you, so fear them. But it merely increased them in faith, and they said, sufficient for us is Allah, and He is the best disposer of affairs.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
The enemy, propagating agents, and some simple-minded and covert people advisingly inspire that the group of enemy is strong and none can combat them, so it is better not to entangle yourselves with fight. The true believers, without any fear, and as they are qualified in the verse, calmly answer them. So the strongest barrier against all the threats of the enemy is faith and trusting in Allah. When a believer happens to be inflicted with disasters, he increases his reliance with Allah.
Yourself. Can't you see this wonder spread in front of you? The clouds floating by, the sky so clear and blue. Planets in their orbits, the moon and the sun, such perfect harmony. Let's start questioning ourselves. Isn't this proof enough for us?
The signs of God in our daily life, one of them is knowing Allah, endeavoring, and hope. Whenever a difficult and complicated event takes place in the life of a human being, whenever all doors are somehow closed, one senses weakness, hopelessness, and loneliness. When confronted by these difficulties, a person with faith in Allah then seeks His help, which He gives. A A person who has faith in Allah does not see himself or herself as being alone or powerless. He or she does not despair. He or she does not sense weakness or inability because Allah is above all difficulties and everything is easy for him. With hope in his kindness, support, and help, he or she will struggle against the difficulty and will use all of his or her energies. With love and hope, one will continue his or her endeavors and efforts and will overcome the difficulty. Faith in Allah is the great place of refuge for a human being, dear friend. Faith in Allah is the substance of perseverance and steadfastness. Faith in Allah always keeps hope in hearts alive. Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In this episode, we are going to be concerned with the role of feeling the presence of God in our daily life. Those people who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and consider being fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they would be among those people in whom Satan can hardly do anything in order to mislead them. They are not those people to be misled by Satan and satanic temptations. Another effect is achieving a sense of tranquility in our life. Those people who are always aware of the active presence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their lives, they reach a sense of tranquility. And at the same time, we find that those people who have reached this sense of believing in the active presence of God in their lives, they really become always under the direct supervision and receiving the direct grace of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Thank you for listening to this episode.
The same when I'm too concerned by what they say. Why should I when I have you? To doubt you would be the worst mistake. Deep inside I know that amidst all the darkness and everything which makes no sense, I know that you exist. Guides me through my darkest nights, shows me right from wrong in a world that often lies. Cause I don't need anyone.
Relying on Allah in our daily lives, from IRIB English Radio. And today's special concerns a reflection on this universe. Reflection is such a light in the heart that good and evil, harm and benefit, and beauty and ugliness can be discerned and distinguished from each other through it. Again, it is through reflection that the universe becomes a book to study, and the verses of the Holy Quran disclose their meaning and secrets more deeply. The qualifier of our thought is a very serious and important subject for any Muslim to consider. The more we reflect on the grand design of the universe, the more we are reminded of the designer.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life.
easy ways to remember Allah. One of these ways is picking a few du'as or dhikr to focus on. Maybe you're not in the habit of making dhikr or du'as, but right now is the best time to start. Maximize your downtime, whether you're waiting to catch a flight, washing dishes, stuck in the jam while driving to work, or have 5 minutes to spare before your day goes into full swing to recite some dhikr, like morning and evening remembrances or any other du'as. Download an app that has authentic supplications from the Holy Quran and Mafatihul Jinan to get you started. Has an ayah from the Holy Quran or just one line of Mafatihul Jinan, the book of supplication, to one of the great sources of supplication to get you started. Start small and just pick a few that speak close to your heart to truly appreciate the meaning of what you're saying, and slowly build up from there.
God brought us in this life to see if we worship Him or not. But the primary reason was what? To have mercy on us. How is it that we find that full mercy? Through ibadah. Through worship. Let me give you an example. Some people will tell you, couldn't God just take us directly to paradise? Could He or could He not? Why bring us here in the first place? Why? Why all this chaos and all this hassle of coming into this life? Just take us directly to paradise and get it over with. Imagine you have a surgeon. And I see this poor young man in the streets who's homeless, who doesn't have anything. And I want to be very merciful. I come and I tell him, look, I found you a job that will give you good income. You tell this young man who's homeless, who's not educated, who doesn't know anything, I found you a job. I want you to be the leading or the director of all surgeons at this hospital. Yalla, come and we'll give you a very, very good salary. Is this a wise thing to do or no? Why? Rahma, I want to give him a good position and good money. Why is this not wise? He's not qualified. Ahsan. He has to achieve it. Because if you put him there in that hospital, he's going to kill everyone there. Why? Because he is not a surgeon. He doesn't know how to operate a surgery. He's not qualified. Paradise is this special, pure place where you need to be qualified to go there. Because all of us in our hearts, in our soul, we have some impurity. And it would not be fair for God to take you to paradise because then you'll contaminate paradise. How do you purify the self? Through worship. Through this test.
That was all for today's special. Thank you so much for being with us till the end of our program. Till another episode of today's special. May Allah keep you safe.
Sometimes I can't see where I'm supposed to go. Sometimes I speed up when I should take it slow. But through all my hard times, when I lose my way, you're concealing my mistakes, yeah. I know you're always by my side, never turning out your light. When I need you most, your stars will shine. When I'm out there in the darkest place, worn and tired, I can still see you illuminate all my skies. When it feels like I've fallen too far from you, baby.
What you heard was an IRIB English radio program. Our website is www.parstoday.com/en. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.